With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
All right, here we go. Hello, everyone. Back to part two.
Hey, how you doing?
why do you say it like that? As if you
just because I can't see you guys, so I feel like I need to remind you that you know I'm here.
Well, I know I felt bad because I got you confused with a producer earlier on.
I still haven't forgotten, Laura.
I don't know who I'm talking to.
It made me so happy. That's why I left the pause when you said Francis has got a cat, and I knew it was producer Pete. I just didn't say anything.
And I love also the shock. Like, why Francis, are you so upset that you might have a cat?
Yeah.
You were I do not have a cat. Imagine if we convinced you you had a cat.
Yeah, I mean, the you know, in these interesting times, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. But
I still can't get over the fact that when you were watching this, the Tiger King, the only thing you got from it is how heavy a head is. It's bizarre.
Well, you know how sometimes you just think, oh, you know, you get a little thought in your head, and you want to investigate, so you go on Google, and then you go on Google, yeah, that tells you.
And you Google how heavy.
I love that. How you investigate, you go on Google.
Yeah. How heavy is a human head?
Yeah.
Hey, Laura, can I ask you a question? Right, you have you've interviewed, I mean, numerous different people throughout your career. Have you ever had an interview which has been a bit of a shocker, which has gone badly, that you've had to kind of, something's happened? Have you always managed to push your way through it and it's never been that bad?
I think I'm probably lucky in that when you interview people, normally it's for a promo, so they kind of want to get the promotions. But if you're on MTV or BBC, whatever you're doing, so they're normally a little bit nicer to you. You'd hope. I always find it really interesting. People I interview who I always get on well with, and then the runner or whoever behind the scenes tells me that they were an absolute prick. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Because, you know, it's like they're going to be nice to me because there's a camera rolling. So mostly people have actually been lovely. There have been things that have happened during it. Like once I remember interviewing a band and all the lights blew in the studio, we're in pitch black. And then another time, I remember actually, it was kind of a brilliant interview, even though it didn't go the right way, but I was interviewing Marilyn Manson years ago.
Nice guy?
A character. I would say a character.
Good way of putting it.
And it was, I remember afterwards, I was in early stages of my career and I was like, oh shit, like that's like that, like they're going to hate that. But my producer was like, actually, we could put that out whole without editing any of it because it was so off the wall. We just went, like he went, just went another way. And the thing is, you just go with it. So you can probably, like you guys with this podcast, you can kind of have questions in your head, but you never know which way it's going to go. You never know what mood someone's going to be in. I used to do all the live stuff at the Brits, and the red carpet show would be fine. But when you do the backstage stuff during the show and after the show, I mean, everyone's completely hammered or more. So you can imagine trying to do live television when you're getting guests to come in.
I feel like I'm not coming, but I feel like that, you know, live, that kind of that excitement and that amazing kind of live TV like you did when you hosted the Brits Live. I feel like that kind of has slightly died out now.
I know, we all have to, because we get told off if you do anything wrong. Like, I remember interviewing Mumford & Sons, and one of the guys, and he's so nice, but he was so hammered, he just fell off the seat. we're like, where's he gone? But I think people love seeing that. But now everyone likes to complain about stuff. So now you'd probably get a complaint saying you shouldn't have people that drunk on television and so forth. So yeah, maybe we've become a little bit too PC.
Maybe also, people are worried that in a live setting, they might say something which will get them cancelled. You know, the Twitter mob will attack them.
And I think when I first started my career, you didn't really see what people were saying online, so you wouldn't be looking at Twitter. So people at home might be saying, "Oh, that person's too drunk" or whatever. But you didn't see those comments. When now a lot of producers and network bosses are seeing that, so they're a lot more cautious.
Responding to the feedback, that's a really big thing
because social media has changed the way we look at things, the way we behave, the way we do lots of different things, because everything's so public now and people respond in so many different ways. How do you respond to social media? Because I'm sure you've had lots of positives. I'm sure at some points you probably had some negatives, like all of us. Do you respond well to it, or how do you work with it?
Again, it's that balance. I was saying, like, create what you see. You can kind of, you're in control. We have to remember that sometimes you feel like you're drowning in this world of negativity and comparing yourself online. And you have to remember that you are in control of what you see and what you do. You can't control other people. We're never going to be able to control other people. There's always going to be dickheads who say things, and you can try and talk to them. A lot of people online as well, they just want a reaction. And I remember once seeing a really negative comment to me, and I clicked on that person's profile, and they literally just said it to everybody. And it kind of made me feel a little bit better.
Made you feel better, didn't it? Oh, that's fine.
It's not just me. They just hate everybody. So it's kind of learning I don't really like ranting online or having a go at people, but I remember doing this podcast, it's a podcast called An Irish Man Abroad, and I was on with a great comedian who wrote Game Face. If anyone hasn't seen Game Faces on Channel 4, it's great, but Roisin Connolly. And we're talking about how you react to trolls online, and I said, well, I don't really like to react too much because I feel like they're looking for a response. And she just said, some days I just tell them to fuck off. And I went, actually, that's quite a good idea. Maybe I should do that sometimes.
Well, yeah, Jamie, you've got that anonymous account that you use to troll people on Twitter, right?
What, I just go and troll everyone? No, yeah. I never troll. I'm too sensitive. I wouldn't troll anyone.
But I think
you're totally right in that, because I think at the beginning I cared so much about what people said. I've said this story before, but I remember the first time I was ever in the Daily Mail, I decided to go and read all the comments below, and it was one of the worst. Oh my god, it was so, I must have been like 22 at the time. It was the most hurtful thing, because I couldn't believe people were saying all these things about me, calling me bald, calling me a dwarf. I was like, oh my god, this is horrendous. But you, as the years go on, you kind of get thicker skin.
If you ever want to feel, not that you should look at those comments now, and I think we learn not to, but I also don't think there should be a space, because I do think certain online publications allow a space for that, and they encourage people to leave those type of comments. But I remember once someone saying, if you ever want to feel a bit better about yourself, if you read the comments for the article above you and below you, and then you'll realize.
Well, that's the thing, because a lot of these journalists get paid a comment bonus. For every comment they get an extra bonus.
Yeah, so they probably just have all their friends on it. And it's also a certain type of person who has the time to be leaving those comments.
Yeah. Well, all of us now in lockdown.
All of us.
Yeah.
Online now.
I can't wait.
Articles about Jamie Lang.
I can't wait until you see the next article come out of you, Laura, and France is just trolling you.
I hate cats.
Yeah. How dare you presume my pets?
I don't know who I'm talking to. I could be doing any podcast right now.
Hey, look, also, you're dating one of my favourite people in the entire world, Ian Sterling, who's also been on the podcast.
Friend of the podcast,
friend of mine. He's just great in every single way. He is a comedian. Do you ever worry that he's going to ever use anything for his stand-up, or ever do anything about your relationship? Because that's what comedians do. I think if I dated a comedian, I'd always worry about that. Do you ever worry about that kind of stuff?
Every single day of my life.
You do?
I joke, years ago, one of my first boyfriends was a musician, so I'd have love songs written about me. Now I get stand-up.
You had love songs written about you.
Yeah, and now I get stand-up. How times have changed. When we first started going out, I think there was like a rule for... And because we were quite private about it, and we were only together about a year or so, and we're together about 3 years now. But I think I've noticed little bits slipping in. Thankfully, I come across quite well. Like, there's one story, and actually, I can see now things that happen in our everyday life. I can see Ian's brain ticking away, being like, "Oh, this is good. This is good content." We were away on holidays last year. My friend was getting married in Florida. And we were staying in a hotel. When we came out of the hotel, we ordered an Uber, and Ian opened the car door. And I jumped into the car, and then he closed the door, and the Uber driver drove off because I thought that Ian worked there.
No.
And I was like, "Stop the car! Stop the car!" And he was like, "Oh, sorry, sorry." And he like running up after us, and he was mortified, but I could see in his head he was like, "Oh, this is great content for my show."
Yeah, because the Uber driver couldn't believe that Ian was with you. That.
No, I like to say. And also, like, Ian did not do that when we started going out. He was making an effort to be more gentlemanlike. And he's like, "Well, that's what I get for trying to do that."
Or maybe the Uber driver's just trying to emasculate him.
Yeah.
Just psych him out.
Yeah, he's that person who comments on the Daily Mail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe.
You know, also, Laura, and we sort of got to just mention it, at the beginning of the year, did present all of Love Island and things like that. And how was that for you? You know, going back to that pressure thing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Was that, because you did, honestly, and this is not me just trying to sugar, you did such a wonderful job. And I said that to you when I saw you at the Brits. You really did, because it's a hard sort of place to jump into. Was it hard for you to do something like that? Or was it exciting? What was it? What emotions did you feel?
It's strange because... it's a great show that I'm a fan of. The circumstances of getting offered that job were tough because they're not how you want to get a job. And I think I had a lot of things that I needed to sort out before I decided to take the job. Between talking to Caroline, because it's a show that she had worked so hard on for many years and that she loved doing. Ian, we always tried to kind of do have our own separate lives, so coming on to a show like that, that he's, you know, such, you know, he's like the heart of the show and such a big part that I kind of had to talk to him as well. So there's lots of things I had to figure out. Also, when you do a show like that, and like I've worked on big shows before, stuff like I'm a Celebrity and being on Strictly and lots of different things, where as soon as you do a show like that, you're putting yourself up for all sorts. And I quite enjoyed that when I worked on I'm a Celebrity and Strictly, that I went and did a play for 6 months that, and I really kind of honed a different type of skill set and took myself out of a certain type of press. I always remember when I did Strictly, that as soon as you do that show, people kind of think they can speak about you in any way. And I remember having loads of paps outside my door, and these guys used to follow me all the time. And I remember
I actually called
police once because there were so many outside, and I just felt, and I was at home by myself because my housemate was away, and I actually almost had like a panic attack because I just felt I couldn't leave my house. And I get it if people take pictures of you when you're at workplace, and I just was embarrassed because my next door neighbor is an elderly woman, so we shared the same door when I was living in the apartment, and I just, when she's going for a shopping, why should she have all these men outside? So I remember calling the police and not to waste the police service, but I just was like, I don't know what to do. Can you make them move on, or can you get them just to leave me alone? Also, one of them was parked in a disabled car parking space, so I was like, I'll get him for that.
I've gone for that one.
But I remember they said, the police even said, there's nothing we can do. And I remember one of the paps said, because the police officer related to me, said the paparazzi guy was like, well, she's doing a show like this. This is part of it. And this is what she has to, like, you're doing a show like this, this is what you have to do and put up with. And I remember thinking, shit, if I'm going to do a show like Love Island, which is a great show to watch and I love it, but if I'm going to be associated with hosting it, and the hosting it is a breeze because I love live television. I think I'm good at it. I've been doing it for years, and I love the crew and I love everyone I work with. But do I want to put myself up for all the other stuff that I'm going to have to deal with?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
See, that's interesting, because I would say I would find that incredibly intimidating, going and doing a live, because, you know, Love Island gets so many views, and doing that completely live, that is an unbelievable skill.
Must be a rush.
You find that a breeze. How do you find that as such an easy breeze?
Oh, I love it, because it's the same as this. It's like a chat. And the After Sun show, which I do on a Monday night with guests, and I love that because it's live and it's much more my personality. The live final, I enjoyed doing it. It was difficult because it was a really tough week for me. But the other stuff, when you go into the villa, I found hard, because my natural personality is to have chats with everyone. And I'd go in knowing, I don't know if you watched this series, but I'd go in knowing the results of Casa Amor, but not being able to reveal that to them. So I'd see Shauna all smiley going, "Oh, you poor girl." And she, like, and I'm like, I know that Callum's gonna walk in with Molly now, and I can't show that emotion. So I almost, for that bit, I always had to kind of use acting skills to play a different character. Because Laura, I would, if it was me, I'd be like, pick someone, run. Like, I wouldn't tell her that.
Run.
But I can't do that. And it was nice to learn a new skill, but that was different. That was something I had to get my head around.
But it's so funny you say that about Strictly, which is, for me, when I did Strictly, and even though I was out very quickly, at the beginning when you had to do sort of the walk down the stairs and be presented and find your partner, different things, it was one of the most terrifying things I've ever done for some reason. So I cannot imagine, I didn't even get to the stage of actually dancing. For you, when you did your dancing, how terrifying was that for you? Was that just out of this world scary? Because you're doing something, I mean, that a skill that you have, you just learned in a week or whatever.
Yeah, the dancing was the easiest part of that show, if I'm honest. I loved the dancing, but I didn't like all the stuff that came with it. And I loved the first day. I don't know if you got to do the Roehampton day, when they get everyone together and you learn a group routine.
Yeah, I did that.
I love that. That's the best thing you can do. So you've actually done fine, because that's the best day.
So that's the best day of everything. So okay,
that's the
perfect.
Best day, because it's like, oh, it's a good crack. You get to meet everybody. I've made friends for life. Ore Aduba is one of my really close friends. He, even though he's the one who knocked me out in the dance off, but he went on to win the show. And I made friends for life on that show. What I didn't like was them being removed from everyone and having to spend like basically 12 hours a day with this one person, and then all the press and all the paps, and then it didn't become about the dancing. And for me, I've always been lucky, because I've always been on the other side of it, because I'm interviewing people and I've kind of escaped that. And then suddenly you have things, people saying things which aren't true, things when you'd say something and then it was twisted. And then also I just wanted to dance, and I didn't want to play the game of doing red carpets with your dance partner and stuff like that, that a lot of people thought you should be doing. I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to learn how to dance.
I totally get what you mean.
That's why you did it as well, Jamie, isn't it?
yeah, that's...
It wasn't the red carpet.
You wanted to impregnate everybody, isn't that what you said?
I did say that's what to impregnate everyone.
He liked the idea of this Strictly curse. Get some action.
I did it because I purely just wanted to dance. That's why I wanted to do it.
Do you know what's really sweet? Because when you do Strictly, like, you learn how to dance with someone else. You can't really do those routines by yourself. But for our anniversary last year, Ian got us dance lessons. I actually had a really bad injury on Strictly with my leg, because I actually couldn't do. I got pulled from doing a week of the show because I had a really bad injury where I had to get like a cortisone injection so I could continue the following week.
That's what I had in my foot, exactly the same.
Oh, it is. I've broken limbs in the past when I was a kid and stuff like that. The worst pain I ever had, because you kind of think when you're rehearsing and you're dancing, you kind of think, oh, I'm going to have aches and pains anyway. So I didn't realize I'd actually damaged a tendon. So I just kept dancing through the pain. And then I remember going into the doctors and they went, when did this happen? And I was like, oh, I hurt on Monday. And they're like, well, this is Friday. Why have you been dancing all week on it? I thought I was pushing through the pain. I never got to do the jive, and that was a dance that I'd learned the routine of. So Ian has got his lessons to learn the jive.
That is just the fun. So wait, is Ian a bit of a romantic when it comes down to it?
It took time. They say you can't change a man. I disagree.
Because you did mention that, because Ian likes gaming, doesn't he? He likes gaming a little bit.
I mean, lives and breathes it. I'm dating a 13-year-old.
So how do you get time when you have to draw him away from the gaming box and you say, right, this is enough, you have to talk to me now?
Yeah, although it's kind of come in handy because it's like a free babysitting or boyfriend sitting device, because like now we're doing this podcast, I put him in the room next door playing computer games. So I'm like, there
what
you
games,
are.
What games is he playing?
So I should know all this, but this is something big's happened this week. Ian is on FIFA. Like he's like on it that you can go in and you can
something
see
big has happened this week. I love that.
Well, he made a big deal of it. Like he screamed the house down and he was like freaking out. And yeah, so if you click into FIFA, you can see his team. I think it's a big deal. I don't really get it. Yeah.
Does he play Call of Duty?
Yeah, he plays that too. I don't like that one. I feel that's a bit aggressive.
It's so aggressive. It's just going around with a gun. I mean, it's the most aggressive thing that you can play.
There's even a game on it called Infected, where you have to go around and not get infected.
Stop it. Everyone's sneezing and coughing on each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Francis, it's now time to the answer of the question of the week.
Okay. So do you remember what your answers were?
Yeah, yes. I think I said the weight of my dog. So
about Jamie said 12 dog. Kilos.
Okay. You're probably right. Your head probably is.
The answer is actually 4.5 to 5 kilos is the average weight.
So the weight of my dog.
Yeah, just slightly heavier than your dog.
Yeah, although my dog's been eating a lot, so I think he's a bit heavier than normal.
So for a bonus question, can you guess how much your dog's head weighs?
Why would she know?
But how do you know what weight my dog's head is?
Yeah.
I don't. I was just seeing if you'd give me an idea.
For a bonus mark of a question you don't know the answer to. You don't know the answer.
I don't even know. How would I even weigh his head?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you just sort of divide his body up into...
Are you just saying, bro? You say you have to cut up the dog and weigh
the head. I'm just trying to think how you would go about if you knew how much a dog weighed, how you would go about working out how much its head weighs. I don't know.
I don't want to think about it. I feel like I've watched too much Tiger King, where bodies probably were chopped up.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That is too funny. Also, I love the way that you described it. That you said that the dog is about as the size of my boyfriend's head. So I'm assuming it's going to be that much.
Yeah.
Right, Francis, it is now time. Do you have your diary?
Well, that sounds like you don't have your diary.
Well, listen, we ran over
two days in a row.
Francis, we ran over a little bit in the first half and I read some things from Instagram, so we couldn't have time for it. But leaves us more time for your diary.
All right, well, I'll read my diary, seeing as you don't have yours.
Okay, right, it's Francis' diary.
Okay. My diary is a bit melancholic, if that's all right with you.
Okay, perfect. Well, we can't change it, can we? So here we go. Yeah.
All right. Wednesday, day 14 of self-isolation. Life in the time of COVID-19. It has been such glorious weather these past few days, as if God was saying, hey, everyone, look outside. The world is still beautiful. These are very sad times and they will indeed get sadder, but at least... we are reminded that the sun still has the capacity to shine and we all still have a sense of humour.
Why are you trying to bum everyone out? What's the point?
I'm not bumming everyone out. I'm just saying we all have a sense of humour. I've been finding it a bit difficult to sleep recently. God, this is actually quite a...
I was just about to say I've really enjoyed this because I really need to be uplifted and now I'm just coming away feeling
But also, Laura... this is, I think, you know, our diaries are meant to be fun. This is actually Francis's diary. I think he's written it. I think he's actually written it.
Yeah, this is actually my diary. But okay, all right, I'll jump ahead to
I want to hear why you're not sleeping. I'm desperate.
I've been lying. It's not funny though. I've been lying awake thinking about all the people who are going to go bankrupt.
Oh no, Francis!
Because of this disaster. And how much I miss doing jujitsu. It was driving me crazy. So I bought some mats for the kitchen and I've been teaching Zoe jujitsu. I made it like a matted area for jujitsu, yoga.
Oh, please do an Instagram live. I would love to watch it and go do along with you.
Oh, do you want to do that? All right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, okay.
No, you do not. Please do not even say that to him.
Yeah, I can teach you. You can do some with Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that cat you don't have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I figured the best case scenario. I figured the best. I don't know why I've written this so funnily. Okay, I figured the best case scenario, I can use her as a jiu-jitsu doll. But the worst case scenario is she kicks my ass. That was
what? You can use your girlfriend as a jiu-jitsu doll?
Yeah, just to practice. But I've been teaching her the sort of fundamentals. She's a fast learner.
It's like you are treating your girlfriend like a cat. It's bizarre. Hey, Laura, listen, we've taken up far too much of your time.
Oh, I've got
already.
Lots of time, guys. Don't even worry about it.
Well, I just
yeah, let's
say...
do this again later this afternoon.
Keep a 5-hour podcast, anyone?
Yeah, we're going to do it. Hey, Laura, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Honestly, you know, you're such a dream. You're so kind. And not only that, you're just hugely talented, everything you do. So thank you so much for coming. No, it's totally true. Thank you so much. Also, what we'd like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
So from me?
Yeah, from you. Sorry, I nodded my head, but I realised you were in the room.
How do I follow Francis's diary?
I don't. Please make it uplifting. That's all we want.
Right. Okay. I feel like this is the bit where I Jerry Springer written. I say, so this is what I'm going to say. I actually can't think of anything to say now. I've lost it. Yeah. I've lost the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I say everything you were going to say?
you literally said everything I was going to say.
I stole all the best bits.
Yeah, all of it.
Well, you got
I just think, I'm a huge podcast lover. And I think there's so many stories out there. And I think with this time, I know it's tough. And I know sometimes we're not in the places we want to be. And we're not with the people that we want to be. But you got to use it as an opportunity to just... be still for a bit, be present, be appreciative, see the good times as well as the bad, and stay positive. And if you haven't watched it, watch Tiger King.
There we go. That's Laura true. Whitmore. Thank you so much.
Laura Whitmore.
Hey. We'll see you later. See you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.